Yeah. What's up, man? It's your boy DJ P. Yop. What are you talking about? It's coming in 8 minutes, maybe seven if I did my math right. If you're listening to the East Coast, what up? Pac West, what up? You know, just saying, what are you talking about? It's coming up in 6 minutes. Stay tuned, radio.dominican.edu. When it knocks you down, just get back up. When it knocks you down. I never thought I'd hear myself say, y'all go ahead. I think I'm gonna kick it with my girl today. I used to be commander in chief of my pimp, flying high. Till I met this pretty little missile, shot me out the sky. Get to know I'm crashing, don't know how it happened, but I know it feels so good. Said if I could go back and make it happen faster, don't you know I would, baby, if I could. Missing deep in me, the load never too much. She helping me bullet, she shot the bullet that ended that life. I swear to you, the pimp in me just died tonight. Girl, sometimes love,
yo, it's your boy DJ T, baby. What are you talking about? We'll be on in about 5 minutes, so you are going to want to stay tuned and not go anywhere. It's the 5 minute warning. Make it past your Caspers so we can finally fly off into NASA. Always the cheerleader of my dreams, the scene to only date the head of football teams. And I was the class clown that always kept you laughing. We were never meant to be, baby, we just happened. So please don't mess up the trick. Hey, young world, I'm the new Slick Rick. They say I move too quick, but we can't let this moment pass us. Let the hourglass pass right into ashes. Let the wind blow the ash right before my glasses. So I wrote this love letter right before my class. I could have got us someone that's only average for advice. OMG, you listen to that. Woe is me, baby, this is tragic. Cause we had it, we was magic. I was flying, now I'm crashing. This is bad, real bad, Michael Jackson. Now I'm mad, real mad, Joe Jackson. You should leave your boyfriend now.
Say
I'ma
you gotta
ask him.
Take the good with the bad, happy and the sad. Well, will you bring a better future than I had in the past? Oh, cause I don't wanna make the same mistakes I did.
Whoa, yeah, I don't have the same type of vocals that Carrie Hilson does, but man, we are excited for this new season. Radio.dominican.edu, what are you talking about? Coming up, 4 minutes.
Future wifey, Soulja Boy, tell him yeah. me, call me, I need you in my life. Yeah, all that, every day I need ya. And every time I see ya, my feelings get deeper. I miss ya, I miss ya. I really wanna kiss you, but I can't.
But I can't. 999-8212.
Baby, you know that I miss you. I wanna get with you tonight, but I cannot, baby girl, and that's the issue. Girl, you know I miss you. I just wanna kiss you, but I can't right now, so baby.
About you, everything about you I like, yeah, I love it. Kissing you in public, thinking nothing of it. Roses by the dozen, talking on the phone. Baby, you so sexy, your voice is so lovely. I love your complexion. I miss ya, I miss ya, I miss ya. I really wanna kiss you, but I can't.
Since I can't, 999-8212.
Baby, you know that I miss you. I wanna get with you tonight, but I cannot, baby girl, and that's the issue.
La 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 la, ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Sucker. Are you ready?
What's up, everybody? This is DJ P Yob.
What up, boys and girls? This is DJ T Baby. This is What Are You Talking About?
Let's go.
Get it.
You think it's your
what's up, San Diego? San Diego, huh? Hey, Chicago, I love you. It's the Bay Area, buddy.
I hate the Raiders.
I guess you're a universal kind of guy, though.
Orlando, Florida.
Is that an accent?
¿Cómo estás? Muy bien, muy bien.
Is that a Floridian accent there?
No, no, it's a Daly City accent. I'm feeling it. I'm sweating in the studio. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, T?
I'm all right. Just trying to, you know, get used to the studio again. It's been a while since we've been in here.
Big wrestling guy, huh?
Yeah, huge.
You wrestled at Oakland?
Yeah. No.
Come on, T.
All right, let's cut that music.
Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to What Are You Talking About, the first show of the season. That's right, this season we have topics such as the 49ers. We got to discuss the Pro Bowl for a bit. We got a new segment called Would You Rather. We have a My Man segment with T-Baby. And, of course, a Let's Go Bro. And, of course, today is Wednesday. We got West Side Wednesday, and T-Baby's going to be on that mic. So, let's cut to the chase, and let's get on to our favorite team in the Bay Area, the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, the Niners.
That's right. You know, I'm just still getting over it. That's why David Guetta's on this track. So, T, we're getting over this loss, the 49ers against the New York Football Giants. It was a tough loss.
It was a brutal loss, and again, I'm not even a big Niner fan. Ever not that I'm a big Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan. Yes, I know I'm not from Florida, but I've been a Buck fan since I was a kid. But I do root for the Niners when they play anyone but the Bucks. So I was really pulling for them, and to see them lose in dramatic fashion was terrible. I can't imagine how it is for an actual diehard fan.
Yeah, I was actually kind of happy they lost.
Yeah, dude. Pat.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big Giant fan.
Yeah.
Eli's my man.
Yeah, probably throwing off the crowd with the sarcasm there.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. God, T, I was honestly, this is what happened. Me and T-Baby watched it in the dormitory.
With Biggie.
With Biggie, and then we had a few surprise guests. Not really. But after that, that loss was too brutal. I just went to my car and I cried.
Yeah, it was tough. And it's not like they got blown out. They were in the game. There were a lot of people picking the Giants, not necessarily in a blowout. But you could argue, even though Niners were favored, they were kind of an underdog, at least in terms of the consensus, because all the analysts were picking the Giants. I hardly saw any NFL analysts giving the Niners a shot. So it would have been so great if they could just win to continue to prove the doubters wrong, because people have been doubting the Niners' validity all season. And they really have proved themselves multiple times. I think even to play that well against the Giants, they proved themselves. Even though they have a four-game better record than Giants. Giants are a great team, and they're hot.
I don't know, T. You're saying all the analysts picked the Giants. Terry Bradshaw picked the Niners.
Yeah.
Kurt Menefee picked the Niners. And so did Jimmy Johnson.
Well, I don't think Menefee's an analyst.
No, he's not. But Boomer picked the Niners.
Yeah, I'm talking about ESPN. I'm talking about the Schlereths, like, I think Hodge, all those guys when I saw NFL Live picking the Niners.
Hodge wanted the Patriots against the Niners.
Yeah.
He's the only one of those analysts.
The thing I actually kind of find funny out of the situation is if the Niners would have won, they would have met the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Like, who could have fathomed that thought? It's almost comical. Even though the Niners are a great team, they deserved a shot. It's almost funny to think that the Niners could have been in the Super Bowl against Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, against these guys.
No, and the funny thing is they had a good chance to beat those Pats.
Yeah, honestly, I think so.
Honestly, they should have been the favorite being the Pats because the Pats' 32-ranked defense is in the Super Bowl,
right,
and they could stop Tom Brady.
Yeah, and we were watching the Raven-Pat game. I was rooting for the Ravens because they were my pick, but you made the good point that Ravens are a tough matchup for the Niners, as we saw during the regular season, even though it was a close game. It's almost like the Ravens are better at what the Niners do, in a way. Both defenses great, running game great, but it's really a toss-up. Against the Pats, Niners might have an advantage. They might just stretch that defense out.
Honestly, they could have clobbered Tom Brady in the pocket.
Maybe.
They could have paralyzed him, T.
I don't know if
his freaking neck, like in Longest Yard.
I mean, on this show, we don't want anyone to get hurt, so we don't want to support that kind of behavior, malicious behavior.
No, we don't. We don't. We're great men.
But as we saw in the Niner game, will they have six and a half sacks on Eli? And, you know, I mean, Tom Brady sometimes is rarely touched. He's just sitting in the pocket for minutes. But I think the Niners could have got some pressure on.
Yeah, no, they could have got pressure. But, man, Eli really, he performed not so well, I thought.
Yeah, he wasn't extraordinary. He was good, maybe even at times very good. But, I mean, I don't have the stats on me, but his completion percentage was, what, close to 50%? He threw a lot of balls, a lot of incompletions.
And honestly, his main target was Victor Cruz.
Oh, Cruz is an animal.
He is.
But they did have some defensive adjustments,
and
he didn't have catches late in the game. But, I mean, if you get 10 catches in the game, that's sufficient.
And also, his main target in the second half was Bear Pascoe,
former
Niner, seventh-round pick.
Yeah, and the thing about Eli, while we're talking about him, he's a lot tougher than he looks.
Yeah.
Because he has, I mean, I think we can agree, he probably has the worst body language in the history of sports.
Maybe funniest.
It's funny, but he always just shrugs his shoulders, has a weird look on his face. But he gets hit. He gets hit and he gets up. When I recognized the toughness was when they played the Pats in the Super Bowl when he broke like 28 tackles and found David Tyree down the field. He's a tough guy.
And Tyree's terrible.
Yeah, that was his claim to fame that one moment. Thinking of Tyrese Gibson, the actor? Is that you're thinking of?
Yeah, Tyrese, bald man.
Yeah, but great catch.
Yeah, great catch by David Tyree.
But if you saw the ESPYs, remember he had the gum on his helmet when Justin Timberlake showed he had gum on his helmet.
Yeah.
That's why he got it. But Eli is a tough quarterback. Just while we're still on Eli, interesting sub-story I want to mention is, what does Peyton really think about Eli? I know I read his comments that he's rooting for him, but like in his heart of hearts, how would he feel if Eli has two Super Bowls and he has one?
But T, this is your brother.
I know. I'm sure he's pulling for him.
He's got to be.
But is it somewhere in the back of the head, like he's the big brother, he's clearly the better quarterback. I don't care who wins more Super Bowls. Peyton's better. Do you think maybe Peyton's a little jealous or envious?
Well, he could be envious, but I don't think he could be. If I was Manning, I was like, listen, little bruh, I'm better, I'm bigger, and I'm bigger in ways you don't even know. But
that's what you would
but,
say?
Yeah.
Just that exact word.
That was the exact words. But listen, Eli, you're winning because you have that defense behind your back. You got Bucktooth Michael Strahan. You had Jason Sehorn.
It's a gap tooth, first of all,
No, it's buck tooth. I don't know if you've seen what I've seen.
Okay, is this your Peyton accent here?
And then after that, who do I have? Dwight Freeney, and that's
it.
And then Bob Sanders injured behind.
Oh, during his heyday, Peyton had Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin James. He had some options.
Edgerrin James was terrible as a Cardinal.
As a Cardinal in the prime of his career at the Colts, he was fantastic. I know what you mean, though. Eli has a great defense, especially that defensive line, and that's a huge factor. That's obviously a key component to the Giants' success. But Piab, you got to give Eli some credit. Do you give him some credit for this this amazing run?
Hey, T, don't yell at me.
Okay.
But Eli's, I'll say, great quarterback, but not elite.
Okay.
Not elite.
Not. I don't know. Because I remember with DJ Hunter last year, we had the argument. I don't even know how it came up. We were talking about who's better, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning. Rivers Cure rating is close to 100. Manning's rating is in the low to mid 80s. Yes, Eli's had better success in the playoffs. Yes, he has a ring on his finger. But if you ask me, it's not close. I mean, I mean, who cares about Rivers right now? He's in the offseason. But Rivers is a superior quarterback. Maybe not superior, but he's better. Immensely better, I would say. What do you think, P?
T, I was there. I'm the one that brought up the conversation.
I think you might have brought it. Yeah.
I say that Philip Rivers is an elite quarterback.
Oh, he is.
He's got to be
easily
one of the best. His season this year was by far the worst in his career.
And he had some just epic chokes where he just fumbled in key situations. But Rivers is extraordinary. The Chargers are they've always been a bit of an enigma.
Yeah.
They're great. They're talented. You just don't know why they don't do well.
But the only reason why I don't understand why Rivers cannot just win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It seems like he chokes. You have LaDainian Tomlinson, and you can say LT chokes as well. He doesn't perform that well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He did have a few wide receivers. Chris Chambers at his prime, he was pretty raw.
Well, naturally, the quarterback is kind of the polarizing position where you can be a hero, you can be a villain, you can choke, you can thrive. And I would say it's pretty clear you could say that Eli's a more clutch quarterback than Rivers.
Of course.
But I still think Rivers is better. But that's not to harp on Eli. I mean, to win a Super Bowl and to get back for the second time is extraordinary. It's quite a feat.
Now, since we're on the topic of the Super Bowl, we're going to talk about the 49ers. Were they a Super Bowl team, T?
Ooh.
Were they?
I mean, if they got to the NFC Championship and they really not only could have won, should have won, it's hard to argue they're not a Super Bowl team. And I saw Facebook after the Niners lost. There's all the haters, all the skeptics. Mm-hmm. Say, oh, ha, Niners lost. Oh, stop talking. That just bothers me deeply. And, again, I'm not even a big fan, but give the boys some respect. They made it to the NFC title.
Look, T, me and B are diehard Niner fans.
Big time fans.
We're like big time. I started watching them when I was, honestly, I have videotapes when I was a baby.
Yeah.
I was like 8 months old. My dad was watching Niner games while I was in my walker and watching them.
Well, and you, and for those you know, B, obviously DJ B, the sports report, you and B know Niner football. There's a lot of these people who are on Facebook who are just talking nonsense. They can't even name five players on Niners. They don't know the game. They don't know the Niners. So you can't really speak on it.
Honestly, we'll just stick to this topic about the bandwagoners, all
the
haters. That just bothers. If you don't know football, I mean, hey, I didn't know football. I don't play.
Yeah, I don't know X's and O's per se.
But I mean, I follow my team.
Right.
If you follow your team, then you know what you're talking
about.
You're
a devout and loyal fan.
If you don't even know players from the 03 era, such as Arnaz Battle, Cedric Wilson, you don't even know Cody Pickett, former Cowboy, then don't even become this bandwagoner fan.
Yeah.
If you were in those dark alleys, the Mike Nolan era, the Dennis Erickson era.
Yeah, some bad eras.
The greatest era I've witnessed as like a kid was definitely Steve Mariucci, but he wasn't even that great of a coach.
Yeah.
Now we have a coach in Jim Harbaugh that I believe that could be a cornerstone coach.
If you don't believe in Harbaugh, I mean, I don't need – there's this bandwagoners, the skeptics. I haven't heard anyone who's harping on Harbaugh because
no.
I don't think it's humanly possible to criticize a man who in his first season as an NFL coach took his team to the NFC title.
Look, I just want to see fans – what happens when Harbaugh has a losing season? Everyone was on Mike Singletary's leg when he was winning.
Yeah.
When he pulled down his pants.
Not quite as much as Harbaugh, but they were. Yeah,
they supported him.
They were
on
a
his
lot of
leg.
People.
And then after, I want winners.
Yeah.
I want winners. If you're, can't win with them. Can't lose with them. Take him to the locker room.
I'll never understand the pants thing. I'll never understand why he took off his pants. I know he's trying to prove like his manhood that, you know, a grown man takes off his pants in the locker room. Is that what he was saying?
Well, this in my mind, me and Josh Johnson had this on quarterback.
DJ Josh Johnson.
DJ Josh Johnson, JJ.
Who's famous in this booth.
Yeah, big
killed,
man.
Killed it for 4 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, what were you going to say?
Great voice too, JJ.
Yeah, yeah.
But when me and Josh Johnson were on the quarterback and we discussed, why you even take off the pants? Well, Josh Johnson said, you know what, maybe someone, hey, look, I got this, and you guys should win. That's what JJ said. I said, if you want to see a weapon, take a look at this.
Okay, both probably not what Singletary was going for.
He could have been.
But to get back to Harbaugh for a second, you make a good point. I'm pretty sure I made this point to you. Harbaugh is the cream of the crop right now. He's on top of the world. But just hypothetically, say 4 seasons down the road, if the Niners start to have no success, if they have like a 7-9 season, then a 6-10 season, which really should be unlikely because they're a talented team with a great defense. But just say it happens, it is possible that you have the skeptics, you know, because there's coaches like Mike Shanahan who have won Super Bowls and have been fired. John Fox took the Panthers to the Super Bowl, must be the Patriots. He fell out of favor a few years later. You know, coaches aren't sometimes as respected as they should be, I think.
No, and also one of your favorite coaches, T.
And Gruden.
John Gruden.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if they hired Gruden, I would still be happy if the right. Niners hired yeah. Gruden. He worked for the 49ers
yeah.
for a while.
And I know Gruden, you could say, won a Super Bowl with Dungy's players because he won the year after Dungy was fired. But he's a great – Gruden proved himself as a great NFL coach. He should still be coaching the Buccaneers, obviously better than Raheem Morris, who was yeah. recently fired, and that was a terrible situation. But coaches, I think a lot of times they can actually get praised potentially too quickly and criticized too quickly. Same like quarterbacks, you know, same like all the like people who are really out there in the public.
Now we're going to go here. The main targets they need to re-sign in the offseason. I talked with DJ B with this yesterday in the sports report. Honestly, they have to re-sign either Rodgers or Goldson. One of them. They're the cornerstones of that defensive backfield.
Yeah.
It has to be one of them.
Losing both would be just purely devastating.
Oh, my gosh. But, I'd cry.
But do you think it's possible they re-sign both? Is that a possibility?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, there should be our priorities, but I think one is going to go. And I think the one that is going to go, and I hate to say this, he's my favorite player on this Niners team. This man will find money in the bank, Deshaun Goldson.
You think
go.
He's gone?
I Goldson. Think so.
I don't know. Goldson's a great – he's out of Washington, third, fourth-round pick. Big hitter. Even a big hitter on his own teammates, as we saw, unintentionally, but a huge hitter. And Rodgers, such an impact in his first season with interceptions, great defensive
yeah,
back
team.
Play. Do you think Goldson's bye-bye?
I think Goldson. Because if it took him that long in the offseason to re-sign with the 49ers and you only get a one-year deal, he was getting offers from the Falcons. He was getting offers from the Patriots. Maybe they give him those offers again. But if Deshaun Goldson re-signs here, I'd be set and I'd say, you know what? Our defense is still great. But
yeah.
I just – the 49ers front office does this all the time. They let great people go.
Yeah, and it would be a sad display because, I mean, it is a business. There's some players you just can't keep.
Yeah.
But the team was so strong this year, you just really want to see the same team get another run at it. You want to see the same team have a shot.
But remember, these guys who always have contract years, such as Carlos Rogers, Deshaun Goltz, and Braylon Edwards, who have one-year deals, they want to say, hey, I want this money. Look at Eric Dampier. You remember him.
Yeah, the pure, that's what I think of when I think of contract year.
Yeah, I always think of that. So do you think Carlos Rogers, he wants a five-year, $60 million deal. That's so
that's
pricey.
A lot. 12 million
I would
a
give
year.
That money to Goldson because he's been in a Niner uniform for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, if you're asking me who I would take if I had to, I tend to agree. I think Goldson's the guy to take. But wow, I mean, who's going to fill Rodgers' shoes?
You know, there's always the draft.
Yeah, there's the draft.
But remember, cornerbacks never develop that well who are first rounds, except for Darrell Revis.
And you even see with Rodgers. I mean,
yeah.
You could say it's a fluke. It's probably not because he always was a talented player. But this was the year when his career really started to come together.
And remember, we did waste all our money on Julian Peterson with the franchise tag. They tried to take him long term, but all that money just was wasted on Julian Peterson. And what does he show for it? A torn ACL because he was missing the offseason.
Yeah, for me, the big thing is you just want to see a similar team have a chance because, I mean, we're young guys. We're going to see so many different Niner defenses throughout our lifetime. Me and Piab, I mean, I talked about as a Buck fan earlier. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about that great Buck defense.
Oh, my god!
2002 when they beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl. Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, John Lynch, Simeon Wright. They had just a marvelous defense, and it's gone now. And the Bucks are terrible now. And a lot of these, you know, you just – what my point is you just really want to cherish these – teams, all you Niner fans, cherish this Niners defense
while you
have it.
This is why bandwagoners just piss me off because they don't even understand who we got.
Yeah.
We won with an average quarterback, a very average quarterback.
Right.
Since we're at this topic, T, do you re-sign Alex Smith?
Honestly, I think you do. And I've been a huge, huge critic and skeptic of Alex Smith. To this day, I still am. Yeah, he proved a great deal in the Giants game, but I'm still not fully behind him. But I just don't know what better option you're necessarily going to have. Can't even speak. I would prefer Alex Smith than like a rookie drafted quarterback or some middle of the road free agent. And because him and Harbaugh have that connection, I say give him at least one or two more years.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I have to agree with you, this with you, T, because we never agree.
Yeah, feeling agreeable today.
We're agreeable
today. It's the first show, ladies and gentlemen. By week two, we'll be tearing each other's heads off.
That's right. You're listening to What Are You Talking About on radio.dominican.edu. We actually talk about this talk with DJ B on Tuesday, too. I mean, what else not to talk about? This is big. This is the 49er offseason.
It's huge.
Alex Smith deserves a contract. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. He deserves this contract.
He does.
But how long? Alex Smith wants a 4-year deal.
No way.
you have to re-sign for 2 years. 2 years at max. At max. You have Colin Kaepernick there sitting, and he's cooking. He's with Harbaugh likes him.
I mean, it's hard to judge if Kaepernick will be successful or not, but eventually he's going to have a shot. And he'll be the starting quarterback someday. I agree. 4 years, not going to happen. Even 3 years, not going to happen.
And also, like, you have 7 picks in this draft.
Yeah.
I say 6th or 7th round, draft the man from Boise State, Kellen Moore. He could run a West Coast offense, but size matters.
It does.
And Harbaugh could develop Kellen Moore into some West Coast type quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know. If you would ask me this a year ago, I would have said, Smith, you're done. You're out of here. If you ask me today, he's definitely earned a shot. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to argue the fact that he doesn't deserve a shot. The guy does.
All right, T. So, biggest offseason move as a Niner fan, what would you do? The biggest offseason move, if you were the general manager, the biggest thing you would do?
Are you talking about just grabbing a new free agent?
Yeah,
or
grabbing
in terms
a
of
new free agent, re-signs, what would you do?
That's a question the actual general manager will have a hard time answering. Yeah. So, to put me on the spot like that, I don't know. I'm going to piggyback and say re-sign Goldson. I don't know. That's a really tough question. I would need hours to think about that.
You know, I made my decision. I say trade 3 first-round picks and 3 second-round picks for Andrew Luck.
Wow. That's bold.
It is bold. It's not going to happen. I'm just saying. It's never going to happen.
It's not. See, there's the things that are realistic. And there's the things that are just never going to – like, you talk to some Bears sports fans, they're talking about the Wars, like, give me Kobe, give me Powell, you know, give me LeBron. They just want everything.
Powell.
From a realistic standpoint, I say you just got to re-sign some of the key guys.
No, yeah, re-sign the key guys, man. Well, we got to take a quick commercial break. We're going radio.dominican.edu. What are you talking about? We've got a new segment, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Would You Rather, T-Baby. What's up?
What's up? And I'm going to be spitting pretty soon, too, so stay tuned.
To someone who's got the flavor, but don't have no follow through. Don't want no paper gangster, won't sign no monkey papers. I don't do funny business, not interested in fakers. Don't want no paper gangster, won't sign no with my life to.
as I say it louder, love how it sounds. Cause I'm not taking the easy way out. Not wrapping this in ribbons. Shouldn't have to give a reason why. It's no surprise I won't be here tomorrow. I can't believe that I stay till the day. Yeah, you and I will be a tough act to follow. But I know in time we'll find this was no surprise. It came out like it's no surprise.
You sing it, Daughtry. It is no surprise. You're listening to What Are You Talking About on radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ P-Up. I got my boy TJ. No, TJ Ford. DJ T.
He was here, but now you're stuck with me.
But T, you got to listen here.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. We rep the West Coast, man. West Side Wednesday. It's a flavor of rap, singing, hip-hop, spoken word. And why not bring up the man that owns the mic with spoken word and poetry?
Literally owns it. I bought it.
Did you?
No, I didn't. B's been doing a lot of work fixing up the mics. He's the man. But I will spit on the mic.
All right, let's do it, baby.
And if you like my lyrical rhyme schemes, you could contend that I own it. Anyway, I usually don't like putting disclaimers on stuff. You know, I like to just spit it. But I'm just saying, I just wrote this, all right? So if it's sloppy, this was just written after my last class. So
you say it like this, right?
So I say, it goes like this. The story goes like this. Okay. All right, check this out.
All right.
Turn up your speakers.
You got that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I literally spit on the mic. I'm sick when I write. Kick me out of the ring. I'm too vicious to fight. Swaggadocious. Bang the toasters. I'm malicious and hyped. Watch me enter the game and see the system ignite. The victims will rise. My brain patterns remain hazards. Lame rappers writing hate chapters in my life. You stay whacker. I don't bang clappers. I just state facts. Blaze raps. I make tracks. My great wrath gets your chain snatched. Impossible to contain. I'm psychologically insane. Preposterous. Your sloppiness. I'm dominant and crazed. My mind functions at the fastest speeds. The rap I breathe could collapse your team. After me, no one takes over or remain doper than these lame posters. I blaze sulfur, acid flow, savage pro. My name's colder, my brain's older and wiser. Smoke tracks, I'm higher than the clouds, the lyrical mind trip supplier. I am a fighter, scratch that, I am a lichen and rise with the titans. My writing is heightened. Try me, I'm dying for a fair mash. My bare hands are slicing like a meat cleaver. I'm a beast, ether is released when I rap. I'm a keen teacher, study my message. You're bloodied in trenches, I'm running connections, becoming a legend. I don't need to come with a weapon, that's why I rhyme schemes. Get hooked up to IVs, lyrical Tai Chi, each line seems divine being. My dream is on another planet. I cause tons of damage, bust the cannons, running laps around these stubborn cats. I don't care what CD your buddy has. Bang this written, change your vision of disgusting rap. Enough with that, I'm on to the next. Got through the test, you're far from impressive. My bars are the best, you're heartless in flesh. I'm an artist that wrecks, fools bagging my style. Through alarms they have slept. You can't bargain or stretch me out. I realize what I need to do. 10 steps ahead, I see your move. You're the weakest crew, my meaning proves that I'm seeming too over the top. I'll soldier your block, weaklings get moved. It's the season of doom, no chance to throw back. Throat slash your whole pack of nomads, front like they know rap. Your soul's black if you don't feel me. My words are the sharpest, each verse is the hardest. Murder an artist, to be perfectly honest, you need insurance and doctors. I'm sure and I'm proper, burning your authors. Your squad's currently goners. I'm rehearsing in armor, ready for the battlefield, rewriting what your educators said. Forget how your master feels.
That's crazy. If you like rap, that's crazy.
Ah, thank you.
No, honestly, crazy.
Thank you.
Multi-syllable master DJ T-Baby. I don't care what anyone says. I like rap. I'm a big hip-hop fan, J. Cole. But
yeah,
T-Baby's on a different hype, man. This guy listens to the best lyricist. And I think T-Baby, everyone's going to hate me on this, but T-Baby is the best lyricist I've heard in my life. I'm not saying flow-wise. I'm not saying this guy could kill it on a beat, but I'm saying lyricist.
Hey, what are you saying? Should I throw a criticism in there?
I'm saying lyricist. Best I've
no,
heard
I get
in my
it.
Life.
It's like a backhanded compliment. I appreciate it. And if people listen last semester, I had that one segment when you weren't available to come on. I just talked about underground rap. And that's where all the motivation comes from, because those underground rap guys, they have the lyricism, they got the hunger. So that's kind of what I try to portray when I write and I rhyme. Oh, yeah, I was nervous going in there. I was like, I don't know if this is going to go well. But once you start spitting, it always kind of works itself out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not know who DJ T-Baby is, now you know him. This man will kill it on the mic. You give him a mic, he'll definitely just kill it.
Literally, I won't even rap. I'll just like unplug it, and it won't work anymore.
But DJ T-Baby, we do this on the first show of every season.
Yeah.
I just want you to tell us, where do you get your inspiration from when you're writing?
Well, I mean, I've told it. If anyone knows me well, they've always heard this story like 20 times. When I was in high school, I started listening to Immortal Technique. For those of you who don't know, he's pretty much, in my mind, the underground king. Great underground rapper. While I was listening to Immortal Technique, this new CD that one of my family members got me, I also had an English teacher, Mr. Simmons, who was just this philosophical, the philosophical, deep teacher, like, who am I? What's relative? All those kinds of questions. And the two kind of connected. So I was writing these philosophical essays. I was listening to this lyrical rapper. And it kind of started me to write. I mean, I've been writing since before that, but it was like terrible. Like the rhymes I wrote when I started were garbage. I wrote on like paper. But I think I've come a long way. And yeah, most of my inspiration is just from the underground rap scene and like, just watching spoken word poetry. Even like as a religion major, sometimes just I'll hear a term in class, and I'll try to like rhyme it with something. So it kind of comes in all shapes and forms, But yeah, there it is. DJ T, baby, if you like it. Tune in next every week. I'll try to spit some, maybe not every week, but yeah.
But see, you use vocabulary, and it's great that you use a vocabulary.
Thank you.
That's
thank
why
you.
I'm saying best lyricist, because this man uses multi-syllable words, and it's like words sometimes you never heard before, but it fits the song perfectly.
That's right. That, again, I don't want to rant on Immortal Technique, but if you listen to the guy, my mark of like a good like rapper kind of is he uses these big words when he raps, but then when you hear him in interviews, he's using the same words. Some guys will just they'll stretch and they'll throw in a big word every now and then, and they won't even know what it means. But if you got the words, you know what they actually mean, and then you use them in real life, I think it helps.
All right, see. So we mentioned this again before. You answered this millions of times, but what do you say to the people that are saying, oh man, this guy is a bad rapper because he's so dark and he's gloomy? I mean, this guy is full of anger. What do you have to say to those kind of people?
I mean, the nature of underground rap, it's grisly. It's gritty. It's like the beat bangers. It's not like the mainstream stuff that you'll feel good listening to. And again, I'll listen to Kanye. I'll listen to Jay-Z. I'll even listen to some Lil Wayne. When I drive my car, I'm always listening to like 94.9, 99.7 mainstream stuff. But when it comes to just like raw lyricism and like stuff I really want to like pay attention to, stuff that like kind of heightens your intelligence, that's underground. So there's always going to be skeptics. There's always going to be haters who are going to say your stuff's too like dark or like violent over the top. But part of it's like, I'm not actually a violent guy. I'm not actually going to like slice you up in real life. It's like sometimes you rhyme about stuff. It's like what a director does when he directs a movie, it's not always necessarily true, but it's like it's trying to make an image vivid and try to bring an image to life. That's kind of what I try to do with my writing styles, like kind of paint a picture, whether it's true or not.
Look, if you're a true hip-hop fan, it doesn't matter. You like music. I mean, underground music is different. You have J. Cole, which is a different type of hip-hop, and Lil Wayne is also a different type of hip-hop,
and
T-Baby's different.
And while you're on hip-hop, just a quick shout out, DJ Tumelo, our boy who works in the studio, great hip-hop producer. He makes great beats, even raps himself, and just if he has a page on Facebook, DJ Tumelo, if you want to like that page, go right ahead. He'll appreciate it because he really, really is good at what he does.
Now, T-Baby, when you rap, you love doing it a cappella. Sometimes you'll do the beats, and you'll kill those beats, but what makes you want to do all these spoken words, all your raps? What makes you want to do it a cappella?
That's a good interview you're asking. You got, like, notes prepared here. But in all seriousness, I do like the a cappella, and it's a good point you bring up because even though I like beats, and there's really nothing better than like a good hard slapping song with a beat and the lyrics that perfectly flow. But the reason I like a cappella is kind of like you just focus on the words being said, you know? You focus on the words and you kind of create your own flow. Like sometimes I'll try to go really fast or really slow, and sometimes I'll mess up as a result of that, but you got to keep going. But a cappella, it's again, you just make your own like style. It's like it's really just on you, you know? It's on you. I like it.
Hey, T, I feel you, man. Because you know, I sing a bit. I
mean, yeah.
I'm not trying to brag. This is
interview. Hey, and P-Ab does sing very beautifully.
Look, man, I'm just saying, like, there's some beats where I can't even hit the high note because it's too high. But when it's a cappella, you could control.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I guess it goes the same with rap.
Yeah, because I do like rapping on beats. But I can't even speak again. From what I've found sometimes is when you write to a song, you write to a beat, you kind of have to, like, condense what you're writing and, like, have it fit the song, which is a great form of artistry in its own. Because you have to adapt. But what I like spoken word acapella stuff, I can kind of like stretch out my bars and just like not necessarily have a definitive point in which I need to stop, where in rap you kind of have to condense it. But they're both great in their own way, you know. I like both, but if you ask my preference, I gotta say this, the acapella, the spoken word kind of stuff. And for you, what is it for you? I mean, you like singing, you like acapella or what?
I mean, I love acapella, but also like messing around with beats. But there's sometimes when beats are just too high because I mean, I'm pretty sure there's men that cannot hit those high notes.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's really tough. I'm no Whitney Houston. I can't hit that stuff.
Bobby Brown maybe though.
I'm just, but see, this interview is all you, man.
Okay,
So are you more of this type of writer that, you know, you got to use your BlackBerry, you got to use your laptop? Are you more paper and pencil?
Oh, good question.
What type of man is that?
Well, when I originally started, like years ago, I would write on just like binder paper, you know, like pencil binder paper. Problem with that is like it's just like you're just like scribbling, you know, and I always have to erase or cross it out. The majority of my writing is just always on my laptop. I like always write on my laptop. A lot of people would like the pen and pad. I actually have a couple like composite, you know, those little composite journals, like tiny ones. Mm-hmm. And if I have a thought, I'll write in there. Like, if I don't have that on me, I'll, like, put it into, like, an empty, like, message, like, as a text message to nobody and just have it in there. But most of it comes from just a laptop. And a lot of it's at school because I'm always on my laptop. Like, when I go home, I'm mostly watching TV, just hanging out. I don't have my laptop open. But then right when I go back to Dominican, it's, like, you know, the floodgates open. I'm always ready to, like, write some new stuff.
All right, see, I know you're a big hip-hop man. You love the rap game.
Yeah,
you love underground hip hop.
Uh-huh.
So what do you like from a rapper? Do you like their flow? Mm. Do you like their rhyme schemes? Do you like how they use multisyllables, or do you like how their voice sounds?
I mean, all of the above, really. Like, for example, Drake has amazing flow. You know, he's mainstream, but his flow is incredible. Even Lil Wayne sometimes can have great.
He
flow.
Can be okay.
Sometimes he can rap about just stupid stuff.
Yeah, and,
you know,
I hate
it's
Lil
like, what
Wayne,
are you talking about?
Okay.
But there are times he's actually pretty insightful. So it all kind of depends. I like my favorite rappers like Immortal Technique, another guy, Diabolik, this big white guy from New York who's great. He has like this voice, like just gritty voice. You know, he just has a great voice. Like, I don't think my voice anywhere near his. And it's all the above. It's the voice meeting the lyrics and like the lyrics meeting the flow. It all kind of creates something. But if you ask me I have to pick lyricism. Like, you know, even if you have terrible flow and like, you know, you're all over the place. If you, I respect lyricism. Like, that's really what I look for in an artist. Like, even Drake, sometimes the lyricism can be lacking, but other times it's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's like hit or miss, but the flow is always there. You know, and there's guys, I've heard guys like in battle rap who have great lyrics and their flow is just terrible.
Dumbfound Dead.
Yeah, he's okay, but yeah. But yeah, some guys just, they don't have one or the other, you know? It's like, and I remember when I first rapped on track, my flow was terrible. Like, I wrote these lyrics I thought were great, but I couldn't catch a beat to save my life, you know? So it just kind of, it's hit or miss sometimes.
Like, there's a few guys in that game that, you know, in like grind time, they can't hit flow.
Yeah, a lot of battle rappers can't rap, a lot of rappers can't battle, like, and there's the rare ones that can do both.
I mean, one of my favorite underground rappers, I mean, you already know who he is. The guy who says, nude pic.
Oh, Frank Stacks. Yeah,
Frank
yeah, yeah.
Stacks is hilarious.
Yeah. See, you have your comical guys. The guy P-Up's talking about, Frank Stacks. He's a battler and a rapper from
Oakland, actually.
Yeah, Oakland, Vallejo area. I think Oakland. And he's just funny, you know.
So funny.
But he's witty too, and like he has multi-syllabic bars. But like he's funny. So it's like, what are you looking for? Do you want a funny rapper? Do you want a lyrical rapper? Do you want some guy with just flow? You know, it kind of there's something for everybody. That's what I guess we're getting at here.
All right, see, this is the last question of this interview before we hit the commercial break. We want to know, who's your favorite just guy in rap or hip hop, or even in we'll even mention grind time. Who's your favorite guy to listen to?
That is a tough question. I've always said the best rapper I've heard is Immoral Technique, the best. But my favorite to listen to, this might surprise you, but honestly, I love listening to The Game.
Really? Wow.
But I would, it's probably a tie between The Game and Diabolik, because The Game, he's like mainstream, you know, to a great degree.
But he's aggressive.
I feel like if The Game looked me in the eye, I would like turn to stone. He's like the toughest looking man I've ever seen. So like the stuff he raps about, like all the gangster stuff, I feel like he's actually done it. You know, there's guys who rap about like guns and stuff. You just like these, you know, these guys, what are they talking about? But The Game is like the scariest guy ever on a track.
Look, and he knew he could run over G-Unit. And he knew that for a fact.
Yeah.
Why do you think he left?
Yeah.
And he, I'm honestly, The Game used G-Unit just to get his name.
Yeah. And what? Yeah. Yeah. Go on.
But,
go on.
But you know I worked for Wild 94.9.
Yeah, you know the game.
Jeez,
pun intended.
Yeah, I know The Game, but I was asking my coworkers that met The Game. I was like, "Who's the rudest guy you ever met in your life?" And they go, "P. Diddy," and they go, "The Game."
Yeah.
And they're like, and I was like, "Why? How'd The Game act?" You ask him a question, he seemed like he didn't even want to be there.
Yeah, maybe he was having a bad day.
I mean, I don't. It seems like The Game would act like
he
that.
He looks
all the time.
Like he's had a lot of bad days.
But
by the
but they said
face.
Like P. Diddy, like there were twice they met him. And there's like one day he's cool, and then I mean no, what the first time they met him, he's actually rude.
Yeah,
he's being rude, and then after that they met him again, he's so nice.
Yeah,
but
you
The
know,
Game, they met him three times, and he was always mean.
See, that makes me view him a little differently,
but lyricism.
But yeah, on track, because the thing is, he's mainstream, but he keeps like an underground style because he has that flow, that gritty lyricism. But that's not to harp on my underground guys. I'm sorry to sell out and pick The Game, but The Game and Diabolik are my favorite two to listen to. Just beat banging stuff. But I'm sorry, he's a mean guy. That kind of, you know, makes me look at him differently.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to round up radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to What Are You Talking About? What we got next is going to be Would You Rather, a funny segment now. So stay tuned. T-Baby, sign us off.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's T-Baby and P-Ab. This is What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned. Where the coach just brought the starter in. Yeah, and I'm the type to tell your daughter things. I float high, don't try and cut my water wings. I'm still myself. Suicide bars, I kill myself. Charge it to the game, I build myself. And I don't feel y'all, but I feel myself. Antidote, tell him I deserve a muzzle tough. I'm rapping like a shepherd with the muzzle off. I'm next to blow, pause, and I can hear the critics talking over the applause. Yeah, I try to tell them future, let them know. Send the haters all my love, X and O. I got a black box where suggestions go, but I don't really give a fuck, it's probably best you know. My reality is brighter than your dreams are. I got your dream girl riding in your dream car, yeah. And the visual is stunning. I hope they document what I'm becoming. Congratulations. So what you want in the water, something? I'm at the private airport border, something. I see nothing from afar, but I'm far from nothing. Put on your poker face, I'll pull your card if you're bluffing. But I ain't with the hard talk, I got a monopoly. Catch me on my boardwalk. Like I said, we pull your card and find out you're a hallmark. Just know I'm breaking world records, no false start. I don't see your point unless it's gunpoint or something. My deal like Weezy first week, 1 point something.
and my verse is getting stupider. Wayne, if you're on Mars, can you pick me up from Jupiter? Phone blowing up, so I'm cutting off my cellular. I'm a superstar, know that on to my nebula. I will break a leg, break an arm, and a fibula. When I break it down, when I break it down. I hug and kiss the drum kick. I put the beat in my back pocket and just sit. But you can never be my ass. Pause. Again, damn it, y'all. Again, y'all. Pretending we are some men that get it on and in. I die before I lose, cause I was born to win. If he don't fuck with y'all, then don't bother him. And yes, I fuck this game, but I won't bother them. Right. It's like these days, man, I'm booked and I'm busy. Dad name me Drake, Foot's name is Drizzy. They try to tell me I'd never be nothing but a protege. But if you watch the VMAs, there's nothing more to say. I got the key to happiness and all the copies.
Oh, the copies. Yeah,
speaking of Drake there, eh?
Yeah, I mean, hey, I brought him up. You're talking about Drake a bit. What are you talking about, radio.dominican.edu? We had a great segment with DJ T, baby. He spit the game a bit.
Spit the game, and you conducted the interview. It's a group effort here.
Group effort. Now, you're speaking about group efforts.
Yeah.
We got Would You Rather. I don't know. If B wants to join this, he can. Would You Rather. This is a funny, funny segment.
All right.
So here's the first question here, T.
Just before you start, they're appropriate. Are they radio appropriate?
They're all, everything is radio appropriate.
The answer I was hoping for is absolutely not.
Okay, let's see. Okay. Absolutely not.
Okay, there we go. Okay, let's get into the interview.
T, first question.
Yeah, hit me with it.
Would you rather lick peanut butter off a hobo's foot or get slapped in the face by an obese man's hairy, sweaty chest?
Where do you come up with this stuff?
Online.
Okay, I got the first one is a hobo's foot.
Yeah.
Don't remember what you said for the second
one. Like peanut butter off a hobo's foot.
And the second one was?
The second one is get slapped in the face by an obese man's hairy, sweaty chest. They're both hairy and sweaty.
So he's like, motioning towards me.
Have you seen Along Came Polly?
Yes.
Just like that.
Oh, God. I would, you know, this is just disgusting, absolutely inappropriate. I would take the latter because I'm not going to do, this is one of my mottos in life. If you don't have to do anything with your tongue, don't. Not really a motto, just made it up, but I'm not going to use my tongue. They're like, no. The second one sounds a lot better, as terrible as it sounds.
Oh, man.
Thank you very much.
This is an agreeing day. I have to take the hairy, sweaty chest.
You're sick. You're sick. You know that?
It's online.
You should be locked up. Oh, you didn't come up with these. Or did you did come
no,
up with
I
these?
No, I didn't come up
you
with them.
Dirty little devil. What's the next
devil?
One?
Devil?
That's sick. I mean, B's lucky he's not. I prefer if he doesn't come on because B's a holy man. He doesn't need to be.
Yeah, he's a great man.
He doesn't need to be on this kind of
strong,
nonsense.
I bet.
Okay, but let's get to the next one.
Second. We have three, okay? Here's the second.
Oh, God.
Would you rather run around campus naked at 11 p.m. when it's very cold in Nippley? 11 p.m.
Nippley.
Or bite a lacrosse player's jock strap?
What? Okay, you're not going. I don't want to say you're not going deep enough because you're gonna get too deep. But like when you're biting the strap, how long? Like is it?
This is right after practice.
Oh, God. Okay, here's the thing.
But you're running naked. That's a felony. That's a felony, T.
I think it could even be. You could even be classified as a sexual predator with that. I think you could.
There's a campus creeper last year.
The benefit of the 11 p.m. the run around naked. Probably not a lot of people out. The con is pretty much everything you can imagine, getting caught or having someone see you, the weather.
But I mean, campus, I mean, you have to run Penafort, Fanjo.
Oh, you have to be in the hall.
No, you have to run, but everyone looks outside their windows sometimes.
The one wild card that is there's the chance you see a girl who likes what she sees.
Yes.
It's not likely, but it's a chance.
But imagine,
there's always a chance someone else likes what they see, and you don't want them to like what they see.
But imagine if you're out of shape like Biggie Ben.
Oh, come on. Why you got to call out Biggie Ben?
Or double A.
He said, come on. Yeah,
they wanted a shout out, so I called him
That's
out.
A terrible
no.
shout.
No, okay. So double A, DJ.
You know what? I might, just because of legal repercussions, I might take the jock strap.
Oh, man.
I don't want to be cut. You know, what's your response if a security guard catches you and you're naked?
Are you
by
shy?
By Medellin, you know.
Are you shy? Is that it?
That's not going to get, yeah.
Look, me and DJ B, we already decided we're taking the running.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm not. Oh, no, what did I say?
No,
I said the strap.
You'd bite the
okay,
strap.
Yeah, ah! I can't even remember what I said. I'm not running around. I don't know. I figure it's in and out. The strap's in and out.
You're biting sweaty. So you're biting.
You know what? This is disgusting. I'm going to look for the part where it's like not sweaty or something. I don't know.
Oh,
next question.
This is the
last
question.
We're all scarred for life now.
This is the oh, my God.
I can't eat dinner tonight.
Hey, DJ Double A, DJ Biggie Man Como, shout out, man. We got love for you. But this is the last question. This is actually better than the first two. We got to say.
I hope.
All right. Would you rather
less appalling too?
Would you rather go dirt biking on a rocky road only wearing boxers?
That's not too bad.
That's not too bad. I saw.
Unless you fall.
Okay. Or chase deers at night only wearing boxers.
First of all, pretty sure it's deers, plural on its own. But so chasing, you have a boxer fetish. It seems like.
No, no.
So it's either you're only chasing deer in boxers, or dirt road. What'd you say?
Or you could change that to. To tidy whities, dirt biking and tidy whities.
I'll stick with the boxers, but I'm gonna go dirt road biking or whatever you said. Because unless you fall, if you fall, that could be a messy fall. I think DJ B wants to get in on this.
Yeah, DJ B, what's up, man?
I just want to let you guys know that I was fully clothed, but I've already chased the deer with a Nerf gun, so I'm taking the deer.
Okay. See, that's
and when you got this aura around you,
yeah.
Like I do, the deer take off, man. And trust me, now it's going to be cold in the boxers.
But the horns, man. The horns are the scary thing.
Got to have no fear, man.
Okay.
Yeah, B's a bit of an animal whisperer, so he has a way with the deer. Fully clothed is a factor, but also the experience. If you've done it before, you're probably less scared to do it again. And B has the experience. But I think without the experience of chasing deer, and honestly, I'm not afraid to admit, I kind of have somewhat of a fear for deer. Unintentional rhyme.
I do too.
I'm kind of like, if they were to attack me, what's your combat strategy against a deer?
Look, I'm scared.
You're going to go with the raw strength or the quick hands?
Imagine if you scare them. Imagine if they don't run away, B. If they don't run away, they kick you. I saw a video where a deer was killing a dog because it was scared.
What
was
kind of online? What do you search online?
Oh, man.
What do you search? Grizzly acts of violence? Is that in your history? Like,
yes.
What are you doing?
Yes. Absolutely yes.
I'm gonna take the dirt road because I feel like it might be kind of fun. Like, I've always kind of wanted to try it, so I figured that's an opportunity to try something
to get
an untapped grounds. Extreme sports. I'm an extreme sport junkie. So
yeah, and also we're on a green mood today. I gotta take the rocky road because I don't want to see.
Okay, if you take it, I'm gonna disagree. Then I'm gonna go back to the deer. I'm gonna take the deer. We can't there. Something bad will happen if we disagree on everything.
Look, if the only bad thing about chasing deer is that what if people on campus say, oh, this guy's a freak. He's on his boxer chasing deer. And he's going,
since when? Who cares what people think, you know? Like,
no, I know. Of course.
Subconsciously, they really wish they were you chasing the deer.
But I'm just saying, well, imagine John Kennedy seeing you at night.
I think he might join you.
Yeah, he might. In boxers. Boxer briefs,
no,
maybe.
I don't think John Kennedy would condone any of these activities. He's a very good man.
All right,
he's not like us. Not bad.
I know you got a man.
Oh, yes. My man segment,
T. Hey, look, super duper no whatever you call that, but full hetero. So, T?
Okay. My man, this might surprise you because usually my man comes after a triumph or victory. And it's not going to be my man. It's going to be my men. And I'm going to piggyback on what we talked about earlier. My men for this segment, I'm going to pick the Niners. Not because they lost, the San Francisco 49ers. Not because they lost, but because of the season they had. And again, I'm not a Niner fan, but my dad's a diehard fan. One of my brothers is diehard. So I've been watching the Niners like every game for years. So I know a lot about the Niners. And I do root for them. They're my men there for this segment because of the season they had. They made the NFC Championship. You can have the critics. You can have the haters. They made it, and they were – it's, you know, when Al Pacino says it in Any Given Sunday, it's a game of inches. And how true, how poetic is it? It's so true. It's a game of inches. Niners inches away from a Super Bowl, but still making the Final Four of football. They have my respect, even though I don't know, they don't know who I am, but they have it if they want it, and they're my men for the segment this week. I'll have a singular man next week for the segment.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, that was T-Baby's My Man, and we'll be back, what are you talking about, in 5 minutes, so enjoy some of this Bruno Mars. Radio.Dominican.edu.
Girl, you make me want to sing. Whether a bus or a plane, or a car or a train, no other girls on my brain. And you the one to blame.
Beautiful girls all over the world. I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted. Why? They got nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
They might say hi, and I might say hey.
Hello.
But you shouldn't worry about what they say. Cause they got nothing.
You know what I'm talking about? Yellow rims, yellow big booty, yellow bones,
yellow
rims, yellow MPs, yellow watch, yellow charm ring chain,
yellow
living room set, lemonade Gucci shoes for my girl.
Scoochie.
My condom sent no sixes, no 20s in my gun. Look at this motor knocking, because it is a lemma. And my Georgia peaches, but you look more like a lemma. And my sour apple bitter, I'm not with them. I'm truly stupid, paid, that's just how I feel today. I'm moving slow, cause coding cereals in my lemonade. I'm standing in the shade, and I'm selling lemonade. Sister and I fight the going right off in the eye. Lemonade, diamond brush, then put it in your face. Lemon head, diamond earrings I wore yesterday. I'm flipping wearing when I'm, that's just how I'm chillin'. I'm s***ing grits and selling chickens, Corvette painted lemon.
Scoochie.
Canary yellow, lemon white, big bird yellow top, yellow polo strippers white and yellow polo sock. Gucci man be popping donkey, don't got all he say he got. If that's what lemon homie, I can supply down the 50. Yellow bow park at the top, yellow bone gon' make the drop. Flip the flop, mine off the top, then go buy me a yellow yacht.
Gucci.
Yellow carpet, woke up in the morning, bought a yellow Aston Martin. Yellow bricks, yellow link, yellow dust, yellow spinning wheels, yellow, go with us, coward ass.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am DJ T-Baby, my boy DJ P-Ab is in the building. This is What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. We got about 3 minutes, but P-Ab, you want to close out with some?
All right, let's go, bro. This is the last segment. We got to name it on two people here. No, let's just name it on one, because Kyle Williams had enough. He's received death threats and stuff.
Yeah.
And also, I want the
Niners. Which is despicable.
I want the Niners to re-sign him. He brought potential. But after 32 yards, man? 32 yards? If Tynes could hit 31, Cundiff's got to hit 32.
Yeah.
Cundiff. 32, even with a bad snap, man? Cundiff. Let's go, bro.
Yeah. And while you're – before we go, I want to – now you brought up Cundiff. Cundiff seems like one of the worst kickers ever. Like, I know he was a Pro Bowl kicker, and, like, he's actually been solid. When they show his numbers, like, beyond 50, he's, like, one of, like, 12 or something. And, like, even, like, within 40, he had just, like, mind-bogglingly bad numbers on these field goals. So, oh, my God. How do you miss that?
Billy Cundiff, man. Let's go, bro. What are you talking about? Yeah. Signing off. Radio Dr. Get out EDU. We back next week, bruh.
Shout out to Cundiff and Kyle Williams.
We out.
We'll be back next week. Stay tuned. 3 to 4 every week. It's our new time slot.
Just let you walk away, just let you leave without a trace. When I stand here taking every breath with you, ooh, you're the only one who really knew me at all.
How can you just walk away from me? And all I can do is watch you leave. Cause we shared the laughter and the pain, and even shared the tears. You're the only one who really knew me at all. So take a look at me now, cause there's just an empty space. There's nothing left here to remind me, just the memory of my face. So take a look at me now, there's just an empty space. And you coming back to me is against the odds, and that's what I've got to face.
I wish I could just make you turn around. Turn around and see me cry. There's so much I need to see to you. So many reasons why. You're the only one who really knew me at all.
So take a look at me now. There's just an empty space. There's nothing left.